sermon is about gift giving and gift receiving and all of that. And I was given a wonderful gift this past evening. I'm going to share this with you. Some of you know that when I retired from ministry at Taylor Lake, it wasn't in an angry way, but I gave all my stuff away. I was through with ministry, and I didn't think I would need stoles or robes or a whole library full of books. So I just left them there and said, whoever comes next to minister, or if you want to give them away, they're yours. Oops. And I think perhaps Diane had heard that story, but also she found some material in our first batch of 10,000 Villages stuff. There was some material tucked away. And Diana Moore took one of those bolts of cloth and she made me this stole out of 10,000 Villages material. This comes from a village somewhere around the world. And Diana, thank you so much. I got my stole back. I feel so much more complete now. All of creation, all the universe is a gift, is it not? We read back there in the very first words of Genesis, in the beginning, God created. Why? To give a gift to all of those whom God would create. The universe is a gift. Your life is a gift. Your talents are a gift. Think about it. All of existence is a series of give and take transactions, right? I studied economics in school, and economics is sort of the mechanics of give and take markets and how they work and all. But really, all of life is like that, not just financial transactions. Giving and taking and giving and taking is the way the world works. You give a little bitty baby, you see one, and all those coos and gurgles, and you get back spit up as a gift. I say this because Mary Louise, one of her real joys in this world was changing our newborn grandson's diapers when Alex was born. The dirtier, the better. She loved it. It was a gift from God. Babies are like that. They can give us gifts even when we don't recognize it. Gina, let me ask you a question. Have you got any readers on you? I don't know that these are mine. Those are mine. Those are some of my old ones. Here you go. Those don't work. I don't think you'll like those either. They're molting. I think they're gaining a new skin here. Okay. Oh, that's much better. Oh, wow. The words just jump out. And they're not making much more sense this time either. Where was I? You give a baby love and you get back spit up. You give your time and talent at work. You get back a paycheck. You give your friend your loyalty, and that friend gives you loyalty in return, and lifelong friendships are made. The offering plate and the communion cup represent giving and receiving in our faith. That's what they're about, isn't it? Listen to this passage from 1 Chronicles. I'm reading from the 29th chapter. Then the people rejoiced because these had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king, who rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory. O Lord, thou art exalted. Both riches and honors come from thee, and thou rulest. In thy hand are power and might. In thy hand it is make and to give strength to all. Now we thank thee, our God, and praise thy glorious name." They had won victories, and they were thanking Lord for the gifts that they had been given. And as a response, they gave back freely. And those gifts, he said, later on in the passage, were merely giving back to God what was God's own in the first place. That means that we need to, if we are to be faithful in our call, live lives of thankfulness. A thankful life looks beyond the hard times. If anyone told you there would not be hard times in this life, they were not being truthful with you. You will have those hard times, but a thankful life means looking beyond them. Things will get better. And then they will get a little bad again. And then they will get better again. And in those bad times, you store up wisdom to be used in the good times. A thankful life is an optimistic life. You know, you have friends in your life who are the old metaphor, cup half empty, cup half full. You have friends who are cup half empty friends, don't you? You have friends who are cup half full friends. Which of those friends do you seek out? It doesn't mean you can't be a friend if you're a cup half empty friend, but it means that they might not seek you out when they need you. If I can convince you of anything today, it is that life is so worth living, it's worth living with optimism. A thankful life is based in joy and not fear. I am having a really good time now in my life. I'm having such a good time, I feel guilty at times. I don't deserve this good a time in my life. A wife who loves me beyond the telling of it, a church family who overlooks. I am having such a good time, and my life is based in joy. I wish that for you. If you're in the middle of a hard time, this too shall pass. Be around those friends with whom joy is infectious. Like this bunch right here. Be around those people and build a life based in joy, not fear. There is a lot to be afraid of. "Fear not," said, "I have overcome the world." A thankful life builds relationships and not grudges. I know people who carry grudges along with them for such a long time, and it burdens them down. And after that long of carrying a grudge, it becomes a part of them. Even when the reason for the grudge has long disappeared, the grudge is a part of their makeup because they simply haven't let it go. And you do have that power to let it go. But if you build relationships, relationships overlook the things that can cause a grudge. I mean, you are my favorite bunch of people. There are some things about some of you that maybe kind of irritate me just a little bit, you know? And I could build that grudge up over time, and I don't want to mess with them. But if I do that, I'm going to miss the opportunity of building a relationship with someone I might not have built a relationship with because of that immediate negative response. I want you to right now kind of think through your head on your catalog of people. Think about someone who is an acquaintance that you're not too keen on for a particular reason. I want to challenge you this week to make contact with that person. Doesn't have to be obvious, but just make contact with that person and see if you can see that person without that bit of a grudge in the back of your mind, that ill feeling. A thankful life finds meaning and purpose in the smallest of blessings. Those who are of the Eastern mystic variety, that's one thing I take from their faith. They talk about finding the whole of the universe in a single raindrop, and they can simply pay attention to the raindrop, and the whole of the universe opens up for them. Wow. That's hard for me. That's one reason I wanted to do the labyrinth, because it is a spiritual exercise that it's not particularly profound, but once you walk that labyrinth in quietness and peace, something happens. In Chronicle, the children of Israel gave because they were a grateful people. Times got hard for the children of Israel after that. I think that's me doing that. Times got hard for the children of Israel after that. When they were at their best, they were singing praises of thanksgiving. So what about the cup? The communion table is the center of our worship experience. Not the offering plate, not the sermon, not the music, not the fellowship. The communion table is the center of disciple worship. Our very identity as disciples of Christ is centered on that table. When our logo first came out, and it's relatively new, the chalice with the cross of Andrew, the red chalice with the cross of Andrew, some in the denomination said, I don't like that. It looks like there's no drinking there. Yeah, it's like a wine glass with an X through it. Because it was brand new, but once it became part of our identity, it is so important to me now. The chalice, because the communion table is central to who we are, and the St. Andrew's cross, because of our Scottish Presbyterian roots. What does it represent? What does this table and this cup represent? If the plate represents the gifts we bring thankfully, then the cup represents the reason for the thankfulness. For God so loved the world. That's it. The gift of the cup represents sacrificial love. Love is costly. Love costs. The gift of the cup represents universal love. We say the words, all are invited, and all really does mean all. And I had one time a member asking, well, what if someone who's not a Christian comes to take communion and you know they're not a Christian, but they take communion anyway? We can't have that. Why not? When we say that all are invited, and in the bulletin you might see the words that all who appreciate or celebrate its significance are invited. If someone comes to the table, that means that they have at some level decided it's significant, right? It is not our table to withhold. It is our table to be guests at and present. Someone may be in a very bad place in their life, and they come to the table just in disbelief. And they are greeted with acceptance. They are invited to the table, and something happens. Something changes in their way that they look at their religious experience. I have seen the table literally turn people around in their faith. The gift of the cup represents redeeming and healing love. It is a redeeming love that lifts the beloved to a new level. That's what the cup is really about. If there is a spiritual, mystical experience, that is it. In the cup, the chance for partaking in redeeming love is presented. The plate and cup represent who we are as disciples. Our lives are gifts from God. All creation is God's gift. Our response must be to live thankful lives and give back what we can. Amen.